Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Make sure that's on low. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing, rejoice, pray, give thanks, repeat. Most of our series and many series do not go this long as far as the title is concerned. But this title was so unique and so fitting and so powerful, I chose to keep it, even though we're dealing with other things. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 25. The Bible reads, "Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good," and we need more of that today. We need to hold fast to that which is good and let go of that which is evil. I am so happy to see some Christians going back to the old landmarks, the good stuff, the old time religion, where we keep the main thing, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. And tonight, by the grace of God, I'm going to focus in on verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. It's amazing, and all preachers who are called by God will tell you it's amazing how God will prepare a preacher by dealing with him ahead of time about a subject that he wants the preacher to preach to the people. And I can assure you that for some reason God has been speaking to my heart in no uncertain terms, very clearly, very powerfully, in recent weeks and months, about the fact that it is truly God who does the good works through us. It's all Him. Now, I know that's hard for you to get your head around, because it was hard for me to get my head around it for some time. But when you look back on your life, if you have served God, you will look back and you will say, God did it all. That's what all people who have served the Lord for a long time will tell you. You can't say anything but that. we saw an older preacher. He's just an old country fella. Probably worked on the farm when raised up on a farm somewhere. He had the old country haircut. Just a plain, simple fella, but he loves God. If you saw him in Walmart, you would not think he was the president of one of the premier seminaries in the world. Just as down home as you can meet. And someone asked him, "Sir, how can those of us who are young, how can we end well like you did?" He said one word: obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to Jesus. He just emphasized that. He kept saying, "Just do what the Lord tells you to do." He said it's three or four times. Just do what the Lord tells you to do. He has all kinds of degrees and honors, and he still just as shocked as he was when he got this calling and this job to be the president of one of the premier seminaries in the world. He's like a kid in a candy store. He just, after years of serving, he can't believe it. Can't believe that God would use him, and like that, and to do something so great, coming from where he comes from. And so, all people who end well, they will point to Jesus, they will point to God, and give him the glory, because he did it. He did it. Even basketball players say, "God did it." Football players who know Jesus say God did it. Parents who raised their children well, God did it. People who stepped out by faith and started a business and it became successful, God did it. These are people who know Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, you can rest assured we will preach next week on Brethren, Pray for Us. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know of any reason why I should feel weak, but I feel weak tonight. But Lord, I know that when I feel like that, you are working mightily in me and through me, and it's a reminder that it is not me, it is you. And Lord, there was a time in my Christian life and even in ministry when you called me. I didn't have enough sense to say that, but now I do, and I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done. I marvel, I am amazed at what you've done with a wretch like me, in spite of the devil, in spite of myself, in spite of enemies, even in my own family. Lord, you have done marvelous things. You've done wonderful things in my life and in the lives of thousands of others. And it is amazing what you have done. It is amazing the people that you have called to do the great things in the earth that have been done. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, because all of it is due your name. We have to do what the old saints have said so many times, and a modern Christian singing group has it right in their name. We've got to bow down before you in the crowns that you give us out of your love and mercy and grace, which you know we don't deserve. We got to cast them down at your feet. I like that idea more and more now, Lord. We have to do it. We don't need to keep any crown. We need to cast all of our golden, diamond-studded crowns at your feet. because you did it all. How you did it, I cannot explain it. I don't know how you did it, but you did it. And I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and I'm just so happy about it. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. And we pray tonight that you'll have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures, and our faults, and our unfaithfulness, our inconsistency. And we thank you for being faithful. Crucify our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit for those who are saved. Lord, we know that you're here tonight, but we also know that the devil is here. And he's working on the hearts and minds of people, trying to distract them, trying to make them hateful, rebellious and stubborn and mean, and trying to get them to be Judases to you and to your work, Sanballats and Tobiases to try to hinder your work. Lord, we pray that you would check that demonic spirit out the door. Rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell, the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness from the hearts and minds of the people here and out there. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit to take control and to be demonstrated. And we pray that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, not only here but in prayer meetings all across the country and around the globe. Lord, I like what the new president is doing with the Southern Baptist Convention, emphasizing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ above all, number one. Number two, I'm telling everybody in the convention to get one. As Tommy Steele used to say, you can get one if you want one. Stop worrying about the millions and just get one, and then we'll have a million together. So Lord, help all of us to focus on one. Help all of us to get one. Help all of us to pray for one. We can witness to one person. We can pass out one tract. We can do something. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be the shining lights and witnesses you want us to be, to focus on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to go out there and get one. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know what we do on Wednesday nights. We are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. A series on every passage and every verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray. I don't care how you feel, just pray. You say, preacher, I'm sick, pray. Preacher, I feel faint, pray. Preacher, I just don't feel up to it, pray. Preacher, I'd rather cover up in a blanket and watch a movie, pray before you watch the movie. Pray. This series is designed to exhort you to pray, to challenge you to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and yes, if you will, to motivate you to pray. We have a series called the Prayer in the Podcast World called the Prayer Motivator Podcast, the Prayer Motivator Devotional, or the Prayer. We have another one called the Prayer Motivator Minute. It's designed, you know you need to pray, you know you should pray, you know God wants you to pray, God is commanding you to pray, you know you need to pray, But knowing all of that and doing it is two different things. And so it's all about you actually praying. You say, well, I don't feel anything when I pray anymore. And I said, don't worry about that. You pray. You say, my prayers feel so dry. They don't feel juicy. They're not supposed to feel juicy. Just pray. It doesn't seem like my prayers are getting through the roof. That's all man-made talk. That's what we do. That's what we talk. That's how we say things. Okay? You know, we all heard stuff like that. Pray anyway. That has nothing to do with what God is doing when you pray. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It doesn't say anything about whether or not your prayers hit the roof and knock you upside your head and all that kind of thing like that. That's what we say. We fleshly human beings make up stuff like that. You pray anyhow. I don't have anybody to pray with me. Pray by yourself. I didn't have time to pray this morning. Make time. I want to listen to music in the morning when I'm in the car. I cut the radio off and pray. And God will let you and cause you to hear some music like you've never heard before. In fact, he'll have you singing even though you can't sing. I hate my wife. Pray anyway. I hate my husband. Pray anyway. I don't like him. I don't like them. I used to love him, but I don't like him anymore. Pray with them anyway. Grab them by the hand and squeeze it real tight and pray. My children get on my last nerve. That's why you need to pray with them. Gather around the table and pray. If you have to, put one on that end, you on the other end, and you pray. Pray anyhow. Pray anyway, no matter how you feel about it. And I guarantee you, God will do something if you are his child. He'll do something in your heart and life. He'll begin to do something in your partner's, that is your spouse, your husband, your wife, their heart and life, your children's lives and hearts as well. But don't be shocked if things don't get worse first. That's just the way it is. It's the nature of the beast. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 354 messages in this series. This is message number 355. Simply titled, Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, Part 20. Rejoice evermore. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. It's not based upon your feelings. Pray without ceasing. Another commandment, period. It's not based upon your feelings. It's not based upon whether or not you're getting along with your husband or your wife or your children. That's the reason why you're not getting along, is because nobody's praying. You're not praying. The question is, do you have peace? No matter what they're doing, do you have the joy of the Lord? Are you at peace with God? And are you at peace with them because you have been praying? And you've got your heart right with God and with them. They can still be mad at you, but still... you need, as long as you're praying, you'll be all right. If they don't want to pray with you, that's fine. You just keep on praying for them. And Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, God writes with a pen that never blots, speaks with a tongue that never slips, acts with a hand that never fails. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, on last week, and it is amazing how these weeks roll by. Here we are in June already, and it feels like we just left January. We continued looking at the Apostle Paul's prayer that the Thessalonian believers be preserved blameless by God, through God, and for the glory of God. Blameless. Every part of the life of the saint is to be as clay in the potter's hand. He is shaping and molding us, as we sung tonight, breaking us, making us, and molding us to be what he wants us to be. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Transforming us and working through all of our experiences to ensure we become like Jesus. And that's what God is doing with all of you who have trusted him as Savior. And if you have not done that, you need to trust Christ as Savior tonight. But I will be honest with you, it is no easy road, as one of the great Christian writers titled one of his books so many years ago. For the road of sanctification is sometimes harrowing and hard. And that's just the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. Jesus Christ demands a commitment, and he's worthy of it. We may feel as though we are not making progress. In the words of Charles Swindoll, two steps forward, one step back, always. As though we stumble and fall and fail to rise sometimes, as we should. Some act like they're down for the count, with their face in the mud. But that is why verse 24 is there, to remind us, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Faithful is God that calleth you, who also will do it. If God called you, he's going to do it. No matter how you stumble and fall, no matter how weak you may feel, God will get it done. I'm more amazed at that now than ever before. My two sons who have been traveling with me recently, we've had to do more traveling over this past week or two than usual, and they have heard me pray repeatedly, Lord, I just marvel at how you do stuff and how you get things done, and you do it through us, and even when we don't feel like doing it. That's amazing. It's mind-boggling. And how he paves the way, and how he opens the doors, and how he will cause us to find favor when we know we don't deserve it, and he'll pave the way for us and make things go smoothly that should go very, very badly. God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And that's why God reminds us through the Apostle Paul and through Jesus that we need to be in the business of praying without ceasing, because God is going to do his part. And God will show up. He is faithful. Your friends may not show up, but God will. Your family members may not show up, but God will. If nobody, listen to me very carefully, if nobody shows up, God will. If you have a mission going on at the church that needs to be done, God put it on your heart. If you are barbecuing hamburgers and hot dogs, you'll have 1,000 people, but this is about going out and visiting the sick and shut in. This is about going out and visiting a neighborhood, a rough neighborhood, and telling them about Jesus. And you'll find that sometimes, even after a full house on Sunday morning, it'll be just you and one other faithful person, and sometimes it'll be just you. But I assure you, you're not by yourself. God is there. God will show up every time. He's faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Reminds me of a man who helped a family out, he and his wife. The family had lost their house. And God sent this older couple by and said, you know, we have a place over here, and we're going to sell it to you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to call you, and we're going to do it. Because the family didn't have the money and didn't have the credit or anything else. But we're going to call you. We have called you to do this and to come along, and we're going to do it. And so they went through all of the hard work of filling out all of the paperwork, paid all the fees, paid everything, and all the person who got the house had to do was sign. You just needed to show up. They just needed to show up. That's what God has done for us. He calls us, and he does it through us. And that is the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, he deserves all of the glory, the praise, and the honor. He, Jesus, died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, bought us with a price, calls us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then does the thing for us on the inside of us throughout our lives. All the good stuff that is done by him. Amen, somebody. I know that's kind of hard for you to get around to get into your head. It's hard for you to get your head around it, rather. But it's a powerful thing. And it is the truth. Now, regarding this simple but powerful verse, the Bible Knowledge Commentary states, the same God who calls a Christian will perform the work of not only salvation but preservation by the Holy Spirit who indwells him. God is faithful to bring to completion the work he has begun in believers. God will get it done. You may fall seven times, but you will rise again. You may mess up. God has nothing to do with that. That's you. But God has this ability to pick you up and to get you going again. God does not save a person by grace and then leave him alone to work out his salvation growth by his works and how he wants to do things. He's the one working out the salvation in us and through us, leading us, guiding us, speaking to us with a still small voice, directing us, saying, go here and go there, do this and do that. I cannot explain how he does that, but he does it. All things that work together for the good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Every saint of God, if they've been saved a while, can look back and look at the dark times and the difficult times. And back then they didn't understand it. Now they can see clearly. So the little beautiful picture and image and little words that we've seen down through the years in Christianity, where it talks about, I only see one set of footsteps. And God says, yes, that was me carrying you. God did it. God did it. That's why you see Steph Curry pointing to God and all other saved Christian athletes pointing to God. They know God did it. It's God. They know. All Christians know it in every field of life. We give God the glory because we know He did it. He's the one who opened the doors. He's the one who had us to be in the right place at the right time to meet the right person at the right time. I can't get no amens. Amen somebody. He gets the glory. He gets the praise. He gets the honor. And like the old country preacher said today, all we have to do is be obedient. Don't worry about a thing. You just pray and you be obedient. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. It's going to work out. I assure you. It's going to work. Listen to me very carefully. If you pray and you're obedient to God, it's going to work out so beautifully for you. It's going to blow your mind. And we're not talking about prosperity gospel here. I didn't say nothing about money. And I'm just telling you that if you pray and you're obedient and you trust God, your life is going to turn out wonderfully for His glory, praise, and honor. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, to God be the glory. As God calls and justifies by grace, He sanctifies by grace too. End of quote. Becoming faithful is a part of our growth as believers. I want to say that again because I don't think you got that. Becoming faithful, like God, is a part of our growth as believers. You've heard me say many times, trust God. Fear God. No, trust God, love God, fear God, obey God, be faithful to God, in that order. That's how it works. You got to trust Him first. You've got to love Him back because He first loved you. This is all the doing of God now. It's by the grace of God. It's not anything human that you do. You've got to fear God. That means you have to respect God. God is nobody to play with. Get that out of your mind. He's not your old man upstairs and all that garbage. No. He's not the Lordy. He's not your husband. He's not your boyfriend and all that garbage. No. Don't talk stupid like that. He's not your buddy. He's God Almighty, and you need to respect Him. Fear Him. That's what fear means. Reverence Him. Give the honor due unto His name. And once you get those three down pat, then you will obey God. If you don't trust God, if you don't love God back because He first loved you, if you don't fear God with a godly fear, respect, and reverence, you're not going to obey God. So what's going to happen? If you're a child of God, He's going to chastise you. Or He's going to put you under the authority of somebody to chastise you for Him. And if you run out from under that authority, He's going to chastise you, and you're going to wish you had that human authority to chastise you. Why will He chastise you? To develop that fear of Him and that respect of Him. And then you will obey Him. Like the preacher said today, obedience. Like Mrs. Elijah Thompson said in Philadelphia, obedience is the key to husbands and wives, to children, to pastors, to church planters, to evangelists, to teachers, to everybody in the church. Obedience to God is the key. He's not going to let you do what he want. He's not going to let you do what you want to do when you want to do it and how you want to do it. You have been bought with a price. And beloved, God is way more loving than we are. Way more patient. But I assure you, he does not play, and you're going to end up doing it his way if you're going to be right with him. And then once you are obedient, you will become faithful. And that's what God is looking for. And that's when you're more like God, when you're faithful. The Lord who called us to faithfulness is faithful in his own right, if you will. Even when we are not faithful, even when we are not faithful, God is faithful, always. You can bank on that. When you move away from God and you go out and do your little dirt, when you come to your senses, God will be right where he was. Right where he was. Right there. Somebody started crying, boo-hooing, God moved. I don't know where God is. Where are you? God has not moved. You moved. Where are you? Where art thou? Why are you running from God? The Greek word translated as faithful refers to persons, individuals, who showed themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands. These are they who do it regardless of the situation. They're just faithful. Or the discharge of official duties. Like that faithful dog that belonged to George H.W. Bush. When he died, he stayed by his master all night long. They had to move him. They had to move the faithful dog. And do you know there's some dogs more faithful than human beings? They'll stick by you better than your family members and your friends. Anyway, one of Jesus's official duties is the preservation of all those whom the Father has delivered into his hands. There is no doubt in Paul's mind. There is no doubt in Paul's mind that the Lord will fulfill his duties. He is. Why? Because he's faithful. One of the most irritating things to everybody, one of the most painful things to everybody, is to have an unfaithful friend, an unfaithful spouse, an unfaithful child, an unfaithful partner in business. Nothing will rip it apart like unfaithfulness. People who are liars and who don't keep their word and they're not dependable. But God is faithful. He has called us, and he also will do it. One of the definitions of the Greek word translated as will do is to be the author of a thing, to cause a thing, or to bring about a thing. Jesus is the author and finisher. Bam! Right there. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. If you are a child of God, I assure you that God will finish it. Jesus will finish it for you. He is faithful to those who have placed their faith and trust in Him. He knew that we couldn't save ourselves, and He knows also that we cannot do it, this thing called the Christian life, without Him. We do not have to worry about our standing in Christ, not because we are faithful, but because God is faithful. Amen, somebody. We do not have to worry about being preserved blameless before God, not because we are faithful, but because God is faithful. Because of God's faithfulness, not our own, we can pray confidently and boldly and pray for the grace, strength, and power we need to do His will for His glory and for the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. Our blind sister, Sister Fanny Crosby, that everybody in the church loves, said, "Come, ye who from your hearts believe that Jesus answers prayer, come boldly to a throne of grace and claim His promise there, that if His love in us abide and we in Him are one, whatever in His name we ask, it surely will be done. If in the fountain filled with blood our sins are washed away, come boldly to a throne of grace, rejoicing that we may in Christ alone our faith place, and bless the Lord our King, who fills our grateful hearts and prays and tunes our tongues to sing. From every precious golden hour we spend in fervent prayer, we gather strength from day to day for each returning care. And while with true believing hearts we bow before His throne, there's not a promise He has made but we may call our own." Let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You glory. We give You all of the glory, the praise, and the honor. For all of it is due Your holy name, for You are faithful, and You have done it, and You're doing it, and You will do it. And that is a tremendous comfort. And thank You, Lord, for helping some of us to understand this for the first time in our lives and to get our little heads around it. And we give You the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we thank You for doing it in us. Thank You for calling us. And thank You for doing all of the good work that has been done through us. For Lord, we know that if You reward someone for giving the preacher a cold glass of water, surely You're going to reward us tremendously for doing more than that. And we thank You for Your holy word that tells us that we should not get weary in well-doing, but to stay faithful, and that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Help us to remember that tonight, and grant us Your grace and the power of Your Holy Spirit to do Your will and to be faithful to You as You have been faithful to us. And we pray that You'll make our life, you would continue to break us, make us, and to mold us so that our lives would become even more fruitful. As we're praying for over 3 million souls to come to know you as Savior, to be born again through the preaching of the gospel right from this pulpit, and for 3 million Christians to get back to you, their first love, by your might, your power, and through prayer and faith in you, Lord, we believe and we know that you're going to do it. And we thank you in advance, for you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend, if you're here with us tonight on this Wednesday night, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. But first, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws and commandments, just as I have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have done wrong. We all have failed God. And the Bible says, secondly, that we need to accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." This is a fact. You heard about somebody dying today. People are dying every day. And guess what? One day you will die. This is a very serious matter. This is not something we ought to get used to. When my father died and went on to heaven, my mother said she was convinced that this is not the way that God wanted people to go. Death was not normal. She said it was. It's just abnormal. It's out of the ordinary. It's out of what it should be. It's out of order, what she said. Death is bad. We have funeral homes. We have graveyards. And one day your body will be dropped into a grave. One of the most painful, most final moments in life, one of the most devastating moments in life, is when you see a loved one go down into the ground at a funeral. The body goes to the grave, the soul goes to hell. That's what Jesus Christ taught more than anybody in the Bible. And Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He was warning us of the hell that he knew about. You don't know anything about it because you have not seen it, but he has. He created it for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. But if we act like the devil and live like the devil, and we don't trust Christ as Savior, we will go to hell with the devil and his demons. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a place of torment, Jesus said. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth, of weeping and wailing. And the saddest aspect of hell is that once you go on the other side of the gates of hell, you can't come out ever. I said ever. So hell is bad news. you should not want to go to hell. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And all you have to do is believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And pray and ask him to save your soul. You do not have to go to hell when you die. You can go to heaven to be with God and Jesus and the angels and the family of God. And you ought to want to do this. You allow insurance men to come by and sell you life insurance that you can hardly pay for. You plan for your own death. You have funeral insurance. You have car insurance. You have health insurance. You plan for things that you're not that sure about. Well, you will go out into eternity one day, and you need to plan for that. And I'm your insurance agent, telling you about the eternal life insurance policy signed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to get this policy. And here's how you do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you didn't hear anything about going to church. You didn't hear anything about singing in the choir. You didn't hear anything about joining the church or taking a chair when the doors of the church are open. God's doors are always open. You didn't hear anything about getting baptized. You didn't hear anything about giving any money to the preacher. All you have to do is believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved tonight, pray with me what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you, that I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before, I've stolen things before, I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, and my faults. As I now believe, like your word says, in your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul, and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life, my old evil life, and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Just now, he will save you. Jesus will save you. Just now, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for all that you have done here tonight, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And Lord, we pray that in the end, millions will be ushered into your kingdom through the preaching of the gospel by the power of your Holy Spirit for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the lifting up of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.
He will save you.